I think we're up to above, if I recall correctly. Now we have some more details about how to be Meshar B'Shisha, mostly based on the Gemaras in Daf Tzadikhes in the seventh parak of Chulin. The Gemara has a story there which says that there was a certain half a kazayas of chila that fell into a pot or a basket of meat, and Marv Ravashi thought maybe it would just be bottling 30, meaning half a zayas to 30 half zayasim, like mamish 1 to 30 ratio. Because it was only half a zayas, so you don't have to really be makpid on it. No, you're wrong for two reasons. Number one, you can't be mazal and drop shir of drabbanan. Even if it's only drabbanan, you still need shishin. And number two, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says chatzi shir is asking not Torah. It's finished. It's already said anyway. So says the Shulchan Aruch Vav, kachatzi zayis shel isur shenzar of the heter, so shishin chatzoy zayis heter live adlo. If you have half a zayis of isur, then you still need 60 half kazesim, you still need the same ratio of 60 to 1, even if it's pachas mikashir. Explains the Taz, the Shach, most of Chon Vesum agrees with this Taz also, just doesn't get into it. The Taz says here, if you notice, Rav Ashi said to his son, Mar Bar Rav Ashi, two things in the Gemara. He says, number one, half a kazayis is d'oraisa, it's just as bad as a kazayis. Number two, even the Rabbanans were not any more makel. And that's why the Taz says here, Peir Shafil B'Isser D'Rabbanan, D'Hachi B'Nifer G'Din Adam, Zal B'Shir D'Rabbanan, says the Taz, even Chati Shir, even half of Zayis of Isser D'Rabbanan, we're makar in two things. Number one, we're makar in that half of Zayis, Chati Shir is also D'Raisa, but even if you have an Isser D'Rabbanan, we still wouldn't be Zalzo. From where the Taz concludes in the post, well, quote him, even if you have half of Zayis of Isser D'Rabbanan, and still, we're never mezalzel of anything, whether it be d'oraisa or abundant. We still need a shear of 60. Zayin. Beit sheish ba'efroach oti basdam shemisbash le'macheiro sur sheishim achas levato pleitasa. An egg that has a chicken side, and an egg that has a chicken side. It's a big machlokas exactly what the nature and source of this iser. But bottom line, an egg that has a chicken side is treif. No. Every egg has an egg cell that could become a chick inside. Some eggs have unfertilized egg cells, meaning if the hen did not engage in relations with a rooster, then it has an unfertilized egg inside. If the hen did engage in relations with a rooster, then it has a fertilized egg inside. But that is just a tiny microscopic cell, right? If, let's say, we take the egg away from the hen as soon as it's laid, then even if it has a tiny microscopic egg inside, it's not going to grow into a chick, because it's not going to be properly incubated, whatever. You have to ask some scientists exactly what makes it incubated and what makes it not. But suffice it to say that if we take the egg as soon as it's laid and put it in the fridge, the genetic material there will be microscopic. That will not count halachically. As opposed to, let's say, we forget the egg under the hen for a couple days. I don't know exactly what the timeline is like. I'm not an expert. And then we take it, we crack it open, we might already see a half-formed chick in there. So that is treif. Obviously, if we waited till the chick was born, it would become kosher. Then it would be just a regular bird. But a half-formed and embryonic chick is treif. Likewise, if a beta has tipas dam inside, has a drop of blood, so there's a whole discussion earlier in Simpei Vav, exactly. Is this in Simpei Vav? Is this maybe a little earlier? Exactly what the dinam are, but suffice to say that at least in some cases, which we won't go into now, if there's blood inside an egg, we take that as evidence of an embryonic chick, even though we can't identify one. And therefore, they're both considered to be basically a treif animal, right? An egg with a little chick or an egg with a blood spot that indicates the beginning of formation of a chick is like a treif animal. So, this egg is treif. Now, in this egg treif, we assume that it has a very strong taste because of the incubation of the embryo, and therefore, if we cook this egg with other eggs, we need not we would think you'd need 60 to be mevatalit. The chiddush here is you need 61 to be mevatalit. Why do we have these special chomer and eggs of 61? So I think we might have mentioned it. You need 61 to 1 ratio. Not 61 including the treif. You always need 61 including the treif. You need 60 kosher to 1 treif. Here you need 61 kosher to the 1 treif. Like a ratio of 61 to 1. Why? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, but the Taz says, we discussed earlier, if you would follow earlier, we'd see it's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashba. What does the Rambam say? Anyone recall? What does the Rambam say? Why do you need 61 for an egg?
It's a simon.
It's a simon of what?
It's a... well, 59 was a Darabana.
I know, but that's not going to help you for the 61. Because even 60 is the Raisa. Right? So the Rambam says, because it's a birya. A birya. This is going to be the discussion, not too far off, in my two more shiurim, in Simen Kuf, is a din that a birya is not batel. A birya means a creature, a whole creature, or a whole organ of a creature. Like classic example is bugs. Right? So a birya is not batel, whether alive or dead. So we might have mentioned once that there are two types of shaylas of bittel. There are two types of bittel. One is what's called by the Achronim bittel lach belach, which means, or let's. Lach, that means bittel tam. Right, the taste of kosher goes into treif. There's another kind of bittel, and this is what is discussed in Simen Sadiches Sadites Kof Gimel Kof Hey Kof Vav, Kof Zayin, Kof Ches. What did I just say? Sadites, Kof Gimel, Kof Hey, I said? Kof Hey, Kof Zayin, Kof Ches. And Kof Yud Aleph. Then there's another kind. This is what's called bittel yavesh b'yavesh. Dry things and dry things. What that means is without cooking. What this is means is bittel of be'en. Can the be'en be bittel to other be'ens? Bittel tam is, you know, a little milk falls into my fleishig pot, or a little lard falls into my fleishig pot, or I use a treif pot to cook kosher food, or I put a treif spoon in kosher food, or a piece of ham falls into my soup, and then I take it out, but the tam has already gone in, etc. Bittel yavish b'yavish means I have pieces that are intact, and it has nothing to do with the tam going from one to the other. I just don't know which is which. Here we have a... this is a penetration of the taste. The taste of one thing penetrates into another thing. Here, what we have is a jumble of pieces. I jumble all the pieces together and I don't recall which is kosher, which is treif. Like an example would be if I unwrap a whole bunch of steaks. One is a ShopRite steak and the others are, what's a very firm brand of steak? I don't know, they don't really brands here, do they? Glotmart. One is from ShopRite. Three are from Glotmart. So I unwrap all the steaks, and I put them on my counter, and I forget which is which. The taste of one steak didn't go to the other steak. I didn't cook them yet. They're all raw. They're just a jumble of different pieces. Right? And this is what's dealt with in Simen Kuf, Kuf Aleph, Kuf Dalid, and Kuf Yud, basically. These have completely different rules. These have completely different rules. Bittel of lach lach, bittel yavish b'yavish, meaning when the taste mixed through cooking or through mixing of liquids, that's lach. Or when nothing mixes, you just have a jumble of pieces and you don't remember which piece is which. Like you go to the supermarket and you buy three heads of tomatoes and five little nachri tomatoes and you mix them
and you don't know which tomatoes are which tomatoes. That's yavish b'yavish. If you cook them all and puree them and make tomato sauce out of all of them, that's lach v'lach. Right? So these have completely different rules. Completely different rules. You could also have a situation, which we'll mention a few times in Shulchan Aruch, very important to remember. Let me ask you the following case. What if I'm cooking chicken soup, and I put in 3 pieces of chicken, they all look the same. 1 treif and 2 kosher, by accident. And then I put in all the other ingredients and I cook the chicken soup. Now I want to know if it's mutter or asur. Is this a shayla of a tarobis of lach or of yavish?
There is time transfer.
What? It's both. Sometimes you can have a case of both. Number one, the time of the treif went into everything, so you have to ask the shayla of lach. And number two, you have 3 pieces of chicken that you fish out of your soup and you don't know which is which. So you have to ask the shayla of yavish. So sometimes you can have both shaylas simultaneously in cases where you jumble pieces and lose track of them and then cook them. Then you can have both cases simultaneously. Very good. Okay, we'll get to all of this. What I want to point out is that b'ikr, without getting into details, each of these cases has a chumra and each of these cases has a kula. In broad generalities, what is the chumra and kula? So number one is, what is the shir bitl? The shir bitl for lach, for tam, everyone should know by now in their sleep, is shishim, right? Bitl b'shishim. Why bitl b'shishim? According to the mainstream understanding, that without being confused by all the shishim that we've shown him, it's because shishim is a rule of thumb for whether you can taste it or whether the taste has been so diluted that you can't taste it anymore. What's the shir bitl for? Yavish be yavish. Let me give an example. Let me give an example. Let's say I have treif jelly beans and kosher jelly beans. And I mix the treif jelly beans and the kosher jelly beans in a big jar by accident. So what's the shir bitl? How many kosher jelly beans do I need to be mivatel the treif jelly beans? Do I need 60 times? Bein midoraisa, bein midrabanan.
Rove.
In normal cases, rove. Right? In normal cases, rove. I know there are exceptions. In normal cases, rove. Right? Rove. If I have 3 meatballs, and 1 is treif and 2 are kosher, and I don't know which is which, they're all kosher now. Bitl b'rove. Why? The logic is obvious, because there's no nesimas tam. So what do you need shishim for? The rule is bitl b'rove. Right? Can't taste anything, because they haven't mixed their taste. Each one is intact. And therefore, the rule is bitl b'rove. If I have, three cups of... I'm going to have to have a... if I have 3 tomatoes, and one of them is heter mechira, and 2 of them are yivol nachri, and I'm very machbid, and I don't eat heter mechira, but I don't know which is which anymore. Staying at my parents' house, and my wife bought 2 yivol nachri tomatoes and put them on the counter. My sister-in-law bought 1 heter mechira tomato and put it in the same place, and you can't tell which is which. They all look the same. Then the halacha is, they're all yivol nachri. They're all mutter, it's bitl v'rov. Great. That's the kula of yavish b'yavish. On the other hand, there's a chomer. There's dvarim she'enam mispatlin. If I have 3... This, by the way, this is going to be... So, this is just a background for all the siman. Even though here it's a total side point. But it's good to have background for all the siman where you get to. If I have 3 meatballs... 2 kosher and 1 treif, or 3 tomatoes, 2 kosher and 1 treif. Then they're all mutter, batel b'rov. But if I have 3 steaks, 2 kosher and 1 treif, or 3, I'd like to make assumptions. I'd like to make assumptions. 3 pizzas, 2 kosher, no, I'm not. 3 pizzas, 2 kosher, 1 treif, or 3 steaks, 2 kosher, 1 treif. Or 3 birds, 2 kosher and 1 treif, then those are chashuv things. Dvarim chashuvim. Dvarim chashuvim are not batel at all. Not only not batel brov, not batel shishim, not batel in 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000. Right? So dvar chashuv ain't no batel afilu be'elef. Even in 1,000,000. Midrabanan, yes. Even one in a million davar chashuv is not batal, even one in a gazillion. This is halacha lemaisa. Let's say I have a restaurant, and in my freezer of my restaurant, I have 100 steaks worth of a ton of money, and accidentally gets delivered to me one treif steak, and I put it on the shelf, and it looks like the rest. I can't tell which is which anymore, right? There's no way to tell anymore. One in 100, one in 1,000, it's worth $1,000. Too bad they're all treif, throw them all in the garbage, or give them to Goyim, or whatever, because they are a davar chashuv, is not batal. That only applies to Yavish B'Yavish, to the end of the davar chashuv. The time of the davar chashuv is batal, right? If a very chashuv steak, a very chashuv treif steak falls into my vegetable soup, and I take it out and I measure, it's less than a 60th. The time of this very chashuv thing went into my vegetable soup, who cares? It's batal b'shishim. Like, a time of something that was chashuv, it's the end that's chashuv, not the time. So here, time shall davar chashuv. It's batal b'shishim, like any other time. Like, the taste that comes out of it is not more chashuv or less chashuv. It's the thing itself that's chashuv. So, that's basically, on the one hand, yavish b'yavish, tarobus is a merkal. If something's not chashuv, it's batal in 2 instead of 60. On the other hand, if something is chashuv, it's much more chashuv. It's not batal even in a million. You want to know what's chashuv and what's not chashuv, that you have to be ma'ayin in Simen Kuf Aleph, and the beginning of Simen Kuf Yod, and there are a lot of details which we'll get to in due time.
In Bital Shishim Tam, the Davar Charis, that is analogous to Davar Chashuv?
I guess it could be, meaning you're technically
maybe,
right.
Maybe you just lock the last one and add Davar Chashuv, because usually a liquid is going to be Chashuv.
Right, I hear what you're saying. What you're saying is that there's a parallel. Instead of the Be'en being chashuv, just look at what's Tam is chashuv, and that would be like a davar charif. Okay, fair enough. Now. What? Okay, I'm just saying a general parallel. Okay, now, I'm not saying it's the same halakha concept, just parallel.
If a baria isn't bato, then how could even 61 to 1?
Aha, great. So what's the case here? Is the case here in Sif Zayin, we're talking about being mevatel the egg or the taste that came out of the egg? What does the Shulchan Aruch say explicitly black and white without leaving any place for inconclusiveness? Levatel pleitase, says at the end, right? To mevatel the tan that comes out of it. Meaning the egg itself, we're not worried about being mevatel. Why not? Because what's the case? Case is you cooked a big pot of eggs like for yeshiva. Then someone cracks one of them and finds a chicken side. You know, and there is no shiloh of the egg. You found the chicken in the egg, or found some big blood inside. You found it in the egg. You threw that in the garbage. Shiloh is not the end. It's not like you knew it had an afroach and then mixed it in. No. You see which one has the afroach. You can look. You can see the afroach with your eyes.
Wait, is it cooked already?
Yeah. The problem is now it's cooked and its tam went into the other eggs. So what do you say? Right? The cook in the yeshiva cooks all the eggs in a big pot. Serves to the first Talmud, he opens it and says, "Ech, what is this? It's a little chick." Ah, Trey threw it in the garbage. Now there's no problem with the end. We threw the end in the garbage. Ah, what about the fact that its taste went into the other eggs? So the cook sends up for the Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Hashiva says, "Count how many eggs are left in the pot." And the cook says, 60 left in the pot. Ooh, we're okay, Baruch Hashem. Rosh Hashiva says, "Not so fast, eggs need 61. So why? Says the Rambam, very pashut. Because the be'en, a birya be'en, is not batel. The pleitas, the pleita from a birya, is batel be samach aleph. Why? Why when it goes to the pleita of a birya needs 61? To remind us that the birya itself is never batel. Someone might go to the rabbi and say, "Ah, the time of this birya, say bittul shishim." So they might think a birya has the same rule as everything else, and then they'll accidentally think that the be'en is also batel. Therefore, the rabbi was told, "Ah, birya has special rules, 61. Now they know a birya has special rules. They'll always ask about a birya, and if there's ever a shayla about the be'en of the birya, the rabbi will tell them it's not batel at all. So it's a reminder that birya is more chomer. Really, the time of a birya is the same as everything else, but it's a reminder, symbolic reminder that a birya is more chomer." So says the Rambam.
What about uncooked eggs? How would this, would that be to.
Well, an uncooked egg, how's the Tom going to get from one to the other?
What?
An uncooked egg, how's the.
You crack many eggs into a bowl.
Ah, if you crack many eggs into a bowl. You crack many eggs into a bowl, and then you see one of them had a kind of blood spot that makes it appear that it's also, you'd need 61, correct? It's lach b'lach, you'd need 61. There's no more ba'en left, because it's all mixed up. It's only shiloh of tam, and you need 61.
Well, you would have to take
take out the blood, but you couldn't necessarily find which yellow and white went with that blood. So okay, that's fine, it's not ba'en anymore. It's melted. But the Rashba says differently. Right? What is Rashba? Let's quote the Rashba here. What does Rashba say? Why eggs need 61? Because when you measure ham in your vegetable soup, what's the unit you use?
Fluid ounces.
The ham is 1 fluid ounce, the vegetable soup is 60 fluid ounces, etc. When you have eggs, what's the unit you use? A good Orthodox Jew, we know there are units of volume in the world called kibetzas. Right? You use a kibetza, you use eggs. The problem is that not all eggs are the same size. And if you measure 60 to 1, who says really 60 to 1? Maybe the heter eggs are a little smaller than the iser eggs. So therefore you use 61 to 1 to make sure that you really have 60 to 1. So that's what he says, because eggs vary in size, you need 61 to 1 eggs to get 60 to 1 volume. Right? Because the eggs can be off a little, they look equal to you, but there's variation. So if you have 60 eggs to one egg, you're basically 50-50. Are the 60 eggs more than 60 times one egg or less than 60 times one egg? You're flipping a coin. You don't want to flip a coin. So you take 61 to 1. If you have 61 to 1, then the odds are that the 61 eggs are at least 60 times the egg. Even if the Isser egg is a stickle bigger, still, 61 of the heter eggs will be 60 times the iser egg, so it's just a way of making sure you have 60 in the end. That's enough. According to the Rambam, it's in every birya, not just on eggs. Right, according to the Rambam, it's in every birya. You have to figure out the case. It doesn't happen all the time. But for example, if you cooked a treif bird with a kosher bird, or treif locust with kosher locusts, then you'd need 61 to 1 ratio to remind you that it's a birya. Or maybe you cook a bug with food, you need 61 to 1.
Besides
pointing
out, yavish to yavish is such a concept,
min
bimino, also
yavish to yavish? Aha, so, almost all cases are min bimino, otherwise you could tell which is which. Min b'she'eino mino midrabanan, you need shishim, but that's a very rare case. Yes, but it's an exceedingly rare case, which is why I didn't bring it up. Like, apples and oranges, how could they get mixed? Right? Okay. These are the two shotsim. How about the next case? Ches, chal mezbatel b'chamisha, b'tisha v'chamishen. Chal, excuse me, needs, needs 59 to 1. Anyone remember why? What did the Rambam say? He says exactly, because it's midrabanan. Symbolically, derabanans only need 59 to 1 to show they're not d'oraisa. Right? It's also to show us, right? That it's not d'oraisa. Basically, for the Rambam, you fool around with the numbers to remind us of things. You make birya 61 to 1 to remind us that the end wouldn't be ever batel, and you make the rabbanan 59 to 1 to remind us that it's the rabbanan. How about the Rashba? What does the Rashba say? We call this in Sibitzadi. What does the Rashba say? Why is the Kal 59 to 1? Exactly. Because Kal is milk and meat, so 59 Kal. Sorry. That's what I meant. 59 basar to 1 cow is really, since the cow counts as both, 60 basar to 1 chalav, and it's really 60. The Rashba is also the Shitase. Every time you change the number, you're really getting 60. 61 is really to have 60. 59 is really to have 60. So the Rambam and Rashba are the Shitase in both of these exceptions. The Rambam said they're both symbolically remind us of a halachic fact. The Rashi says,
It's all 60. They're both just funny ways of measuring 60. I wanted a taina, and I'll repeat it briefly, that this is l'shitasam on what the whole idea of 60 is. The Rashba holds like most Rishonim, and we follow the Rashba, by the way. What's the Nafkamina? Here the Nafkamina is tremendous. How about every other Issa D'Rabbanan? Right? Every other Issa D'Rabbanan is, of course, what's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is other Birya. For the Rama needs 61, for the Rashba needs 60. And even more likely, any other Issa D'Rabbanan, which happens all the time, there's Issa D'Rabbanan. Venus Akka. Right? There's lots of Issa D'Rabbanan out there. According to the Rambam, you need 59. According to the Rashba, you need 60. We pass in, like the Rashba, that you need 60 in everything but eggs and cow. There's no difference in the rice and the Rabbanan. There's no difference in birya and non-birya. We pass like the Rashba. I pointed out, this is a very lumdish machlokis, about what 60 is in the first place. The Rashba holds like Tosos, that 60 is a way of measuring, a rule of thumb, as to whether you can taste it or not. Measuring dilution of taste. If it's a way of measuring dilution of taste, you don't change the number to remind us of something. Either there's a taste or there isn't. You only change the number to get a better way of measuring taste. According to the Rambam never said 60 was a rule of thumb as whether you can taste it. He says, it's bitl ba'otze mi'uto, it's being very small. It's just symbolic smallness. Then I understand, if it's 60 is just symbolic anyway, then sometimes it can be 59, sometimes 61, because it's only symbolic anyway. Okay, that is the... That is fairly straightforward. Now let's go on to some real halacha l'maisa. Says the Rama, he summarizes. Kol ha'isurim hanogim is banazer, kulam is batlim b'shishim, milvad chomim t'pesach v'yaynesa, k'shanis bar v'l'chosayim. Any isurim that apply nowadays are batl b'shishim, except for chomim t'an pesach, which is not batl at all, special chumrah, and yaynesach, we're not going to get into it now, but he means actual Yayin Nesach, like that was actually poured to Abu Zara, which is not Bottle at all, as we will explain each of them in their halachas, and Yayin Nesach gets very complicated. We're not going to get into it now. The Shach points out that this is not so Pashat, because there are in between. There are really four different Madrigos of Isurim. There are all Isurim, which are batal in 60. Chametz and Yayin Nesef is not batal. What are the two in between Madrigas? What are other numbers out there? What are the two other numbers out there floating in the world?
200.
100 and 200. What's batal in 100?
Truma.
Here, let's add what's not in the Rama. Truma is batal in 100, and what's batal in 200?
Orla.
Arla and Klai HaKerem are batal in 200, and we have to add here, Tevel is not batal at all. Basically, he's skipping here agricultural mitzvos. The Rama is skipping agricultural mitzvos. Why the Rama is skipping agricultural mitzvos is at first not a mystery, because the Truma, etc., is only in Israel, and the Rama lived in Poland. However, Arla also applies in Chutz Laretz, and even Klai HaKerem, at least Klai HaKerem Amish, applied to Chutz Laretz. So the Shach says a bit of a tzarchi on what he meant. Maybe he just meant we're not getting into agricultural mitzvos now, not that they Amish don't apply. But certainly even in Poland, Arla apply. Here in Eretz Yisrael, even Truma applies. So we have to know all these different numbers if they would come up. But nonetheless, regular kosher and treif is 60. I believe so, yes. Okay. However, here the Rama adds a caveat. Ubilvad she'isr einu notzin tam b'kdeira. When is this true if you can't taste it? Aval no say tam ba'osa k'deira. But if you can taste the isr in the k'deira, v'u'osu mitzad atzmon, it's something which is intrinsically usr. Afila be'elef lo batal kozman shvagishin taimo. It's not batal even in 1,000, even in 1,000,000, even in a gazillion, as long as you can taste it. So let's say I have treif pepper. I put treif pepper, I put only 0.01% in my kedera. And I could probably taste it, I bet. Because it's just a very powerful taste. Then, it's still usr. Therefore, salt and spice of things that are made for taste
Imasur machas atzmon, they're intrinsically surim, ein abatelim b'shishim, they're not batel b'shishim.
So what's the principle? The principle here is that milsa davida l'taim alo batel, something which is for taste. This is called milsa davida l'taim alo batel. The Taz here has a confusion. The Taz at first says, well, hold on a second. We put Shuman for Tom. There are a lot of things we put for taste, right? So it's not going to be Batel. Says that's going to really bother all of Hilchos Tarubis. And so he meanders around for a bit and then comes to the Maskana, which is accepted by all the Poskim and Mefarshim. Says Mils Nevila Tanya doesn't mean anything for taste. A lot of things have taste in their own Batel. What it means is something with concentrated taste, like a spice or a salt, or nowadays you would say a concentrate flavor. Right, that's what it means. It doesn't mean anything that's put added for taste. You add lots of ingredients for taste in the shtel batel. People put milk into things for taste. You put milk into scrambled eggs for taste. But if it's less than a 60th, it's still batel. What he means there is concentrated taste, like spices and sugar. And nowadays, this come up if you have, let's say, flavorings, like concentrated flavorings. Right, like, I don't know, you have chicken soup powder. Right? Chicken soup powder is not going to be batel b'shishim because it has all the flavor concentrated there without any of the carriers. So everyone knows, I don't know what the recipe is. I bet if you put in 1/70th chicken soup powder in water and cook it, it'll taste like soup. You'll still taste it. Why? Because it's a concentrated flavor. So concentrated flavors are not batel even in 1,000 as long as you can taste them. The Shach points out, though, that what does this mean? This means concentrated flavors. Not anything that's used for taste.
Is coffee a concentrated flavor? It's like very sharp, strong, just coffee, like you wouldn't cook it with anything else?
That's an interesting question. Is coffee a milsa davida l'taima? Possibly. Yeah, maybe.
But it's not concentrated, it's just ground.
Right, that's what I wonder about. Like, it's not, but on the other hand, neither is pepper and salt, but they're just naturally very, very flavorful. So I don't know, it's an interesting question.
Vanilla
extract, for sure. Poshut goes without saying. I mean, whoever puts in more than 60 of that, you can still taste it, right? That's what it's an extract. A vanilla bean might be batel b'shishim. I have no idea how big the vanilla beans are, etc. Okay, the general assumption is that anything which has a powerful concentrated taste, whether it's artificially concentrated or naturally concentrated, is not batel. The classic example is always spices. The general assumption of the Shach points out that it's not a chokvelo yavor, though. Meaning it doesn't mean that anything with a concentrated taste is never batel. It just means it's not batel if you can taste it. And since we're not sure, right? But it's not like mamish lo batel, a feel of elof, like that. Exeris a kos of lo batel. It's a practical lo batel. But if you can taste it, it is batel. What are the two examples? How can you know you can't taste it? After all, you're not allowed to try, right? If you're not allowed to try to taste it, because you might be able to taste it. Let's say someone has orla pepper, right? Very trace pepper. And they put it into your vegetable soup, and it's a tiny amount. But you might be able to taste it. How do you know? You can't try, because it might be trace. So the Shach has two examples where he says of ways you can eat mako. One is if it's only a speck, that's the Shach says in Sifkatan. Chavches. He says if you actually drop one speck of salt or pepper, obviously you can't taste it. Obviously it's batel, that's not a problem. Let's say you drop one speck of salt, one grain of salt. Obviously you can't taste it. So if it's obvious that it's still okay, or, and this is the big chiddush of the Shach in Sifkatan, Chavches, the second half of Chavches, quoting the Isser v'heter to imas goy, you can have a goy taste it. This is a big cool of the Shach. Even though normally we're not so much on tasting of a goy, that's when we can measure with shishim. But in Milsa Vidal Taima, then the Shach says we are so mechana goy, because we don't want to ask for something in such a little amount, such a small amount, we are so mechan tasting a goy. That's a big kula of the Shach. This, of course, brings up another issue, which may have been why he was a little more mekel. The Shach says a big chiddush in Sukkot and Chav Tes. Feel the elf, the bottle, the kasab is the heter kal kafhe, the hainu midra banan. This din, most of the times the bottle is only midra banan. Only midra banan. Rabbi Kiva Egerhead jumps on him and says, Aran kasab shudra raisa, ayim be evan ha ozer or a chayim. Here we have a big machlokes. What about a milsa da avida le taima? Right? Which is less, or milsa da vidal taima, right? Viyesh samech kenegdo. There is 60 times. Meaning you have 60 times as much soup as pepper, but you can still taste the pepper. So what's the nature of this isser? It says where we keep it eager. Asar midar raisa. It says the shach and the isser v'heter. Aser midra banan. Okay, which makes more sense? Aser midra raisa or aser midra banan? The raisa. Pashtus is the Rabbi Kiva Eger makes more sense. What's the svara? The svara is very pashut. Tam ke Eger. The svara is the whole point of shishim is just to estimate if you can taste it or not. But if you can taste it, you can taste it. Like, who cares about shishim? The Eger is taste. And if you can taste it, you can taste it. Tom Kikers, we don't write, so we paskin. That's where we keep Eger's plush and smarter. Where's the shot coming from? Here, we have two different drachen. The Rav said in the Das of the Isser Heter, he mentioned this, he said, he's Lashitase in a lot of things we've seen until now. He's Lashitase that we don't use a guy. And Lashitase mainly of Holchin Basar Shma instead of Basar Taima. This is the Rav's Chiddush that the Isser V'Heter and Ramah held based on Rashi that really Tam Ke'ikar is not about taste. Really, it's just a halacha Moshe V'Sinai that you need Shishim for Min Mishen Amino. So he says Lishi Tase in Se'if Aleph and Beis that the Isser is not taste, but rather a halakha, the motion of Sinai, or drusha, let's call it Xeris HaKasav. The Isser is not really taste, but Xeris HaKasav. And that's, we already mentioned this lumbus that the Rambam explained the Isser HaHetzer. Of course, this lumbus doesn't work for the Shach, because the Shach said we go Basar Taima, because it's really all about whether you can taste it or not. So for the Shach, the Prima Gadim, I don't know if the Prima Gadim discusses it here. No. Prima Gadim in the Hakdama to Hilchas Tarovis discusses this. And in his Hakdama to Hilchas Tarovis, he says, if I can find it very quickly, I will tell you. It's Midrabanan. And he says, why? Tam Kolosh lo Asra Torah. It's just a Tam Kolosh. It's a weak Tam. Okay, so says the Prima Gadim, and this works for the Shach. The Das Hashach, Tam Kolosh, Lo Asr Torah.
Are we talking about a Tam Chazak?
It's a great question. It's a bit dochlik. What he's saying is that anything that's diluted more than a 60th is only a weak taste. It's a little funny, because no, it's just very concentrated. Maybe it's still a strong taste. So it's a bit of a tzarek eon, it's a bit of a dochlik answer. Pashtos, you get into a dechak here. If you want to say like Rabbi Kiva Eger, you're fine. It's the Raisa, Tam Ke'iker. If you want to say like the Shach, but not for the Shach himself, for the Isser V'Heter, like the Rav, you're fine. Have a whole lumdus that We thought it was Tam, but the Rama really holds, based on Rashi, and that it's just a Xeris HaKasim of Shishim. And the difference between Minbarino and Mimish Enamino is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, it has nothing to do with tasting, like the Rama himself said a few times already. But for the Shach himself, it's very Dachuk. Meaning, if the Shach thinks it really depends on taste, what do you mean it's a Tam Kolish? Tastes very strong to me. So that's a Dachuk answer, but that's the best I can do for the Shach himself. If you can do better, I'm happy to hear.
Maybe Tom Kaker needs to be like the Ikra. It tastes
fine. It's a little funny, though, because Zev says it tastes very strong. You're saying compared to the Ikra, it doesn't taste strong. Okay, that's Bechlava, the Prim Government. It's still a little dark.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of the interesting side issues that come up here, by the way, is...
I'll point out two issues. One that dealt with in Shulchan Aruch, one that isn't.
There's a Machlokes in...
Tosos, I think this one's in the Tosos Kofes on the days, about the following issue. Yes. Tavlin Habaluan Michaela Bumidam, between the Re and the Rashi. What about the following case? What if you have, the classic case is, they say Tavlin. The classic case is Melech Habaluan Midam. Why is that a classic case? This could easily happen. How could you have a Shaila of a spice that has a Blia of trait? The Yukasha. What happens in Yukasha? The salt makes the blood come out. Okay, where might the blood go into? The salt. Right? Hold on, Yukasha meat. The blood makes all the salt makes all the blood drip out. But the salt turns red, it's full of blood. Isn't that a problem? So what do you do? How do you get it off the meat? You wash the meat. Everyone knows you have to wash the meat after you kasher it, because it's full of red salt. So you wash off the red salt. What if someone, this is Maisim Chol Yom in the old days, someone forgot. He put the meat in the chulent without washing it off. So, how much blood was stuck there on top of the meat? Less than a 60th of the chulent. But, how much salt was there? Less than a 60th. You can't taste the blood, but you can taste the salt. What about the following case? What about, this is the classic case we've shown in, Melach Habalua Midam V'yesh Shishim Kenegdo. Yesh Shishim Kenegdo, you can't taste the blood, but you can taste the salt. Do we say that it's usher because you can taste the trace salt, or it's not usher because you can't taste the dam? So this is the machlokes between the Rashbam and the Re. The Rashbam says, it's not explicitly said in this Tosaf, so Tosaf assumes that this time is machlokes. The Rashbam says, Osir. Why? Because you can taste the salt. And remember, we're Ashkenazim. What happened to the salt? Kanan. Right? Osir, because the salt is Kanan, and it's not Batel. For Sephardim, by the way, there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, this is Mutter. The salt was never treif. There's no chanan for Sephardim and Sherry Surin. There's only treif blood, and the blood is batel. So for Sephardim, there's nothing to talk about. What there is talking about is for Ashkenazim. So the Rashbam says, or at least the Tosfos assumes he would say, in this case, the salt is chanan. You could taste the chanan salt. You could taste the chanan. You could taste treif.
Also, for Sephardim, even if they have chanan, do they
hold the din of? Yes, they do. Even though it's in the Ramah, it comes up elsewhere.
But the Re says, Mutter.
Why? Because the Re holds, don't take Hanan too literally. Hanan b'shari surim doesn't mean that mamish turns treif. Hanan just means you need shishim. Most of the Yachronim assume this works well. If you assume Hanan is only dindrabanan, that means drabanan. There it goes, or you need shishim kenegdo.
So, the mutter, because Hanan isn't really treif. I know I'm giving you a much more lundish explanation than
it sounded like in the Tosos. Also, though, that Tosos is pretty lundish. Look at the first Tosos on 108b, Kuf Chesamid Beis.
Hanan isn't really treif. It's just a gezeira to require 60.
And the logic is, like, what's the problem with Hanan? Maybe it's a Gzeira and Shari Surah to Basar B'Chalav. Okay, Basar B'Chalav, you only need 60. There's no salt in Basar B'Chalav, or pepper in Basar B'Chalav, only meat and milk. You know, where Hanan is a Gzeira, like... this is a fundamental machlokes. Do you take Hanan to the extreme and say, Hanan salt is treif salt. Hanan pepper is treif pepper. And now the Asher is even one in a thousand. Or do we say no? Hanan means we need shishim kenegdo, but that's not intrinsically treif. And therefore, you know, it's basically says the Ri, it's only as treif as the blood it came from. That's the principle of the Ri. That it's only as treif as what made it treif. And therefore, since dam is batzav shishim, the melech habalumi dam is also batzav shishim. How do we paskin, like the Ri or like the Rashbam? How do we paskin? How do we paskin? How do you know? But how do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Zeb, how do you know we paskin like the Ri? I'll give you a clue. You want a clue? I'm asking a very easy question. Okay? How do you know we paskin like the Ri? It's a good clue, no?
We always paskin like the Ri?
The end of the Ramadan that I just read. Im asur machmas atzman einam b'teilam b'shishim. It says right there, when is a milsa b'teilam b'batel? Only if it's asur machmas atzmo. But if it's just got a bli of something else, then it is batel b'shishim. It's before Shema. Right?
I thought it was a good clue. It was a good clue.
We just read it. Right? That's how we paskin. We paskin, and when is milsa b'teilam time not batel? If it's intrinsically asur. If the salt itself is trained. How do you get salt itself as treif? You have to be created, right? Maybe you have to be mocker of the salt to an idol. The salt itself is treif, then it's not batel fi'il ve'ela. The spice is much easier. Pepper itself, pepper can be tevel and orla and shvius and lots of other things. If the spice itself is treif, it's not batel even one in a thousand. But if it's really kosher, it just got a tam of treif, like it is a bli of dam and chaylev, then it's batel b'shishim. We don't take Hanan to the logical extreme. This is the principle of the Ri we'll see time and time again. Another way of saying it, which we'll get to, is ein hanes ar oser, ela b'makim sheha oser yohalelev l'sham. The nes are only asers where the oser could have asered. Meaning, the thing that became Hanan is only as much of a problem as the thing that asered it in the first place. Okay, so that's a clear psak like the Ri. Like what? Yeah. Okay, one other issue that comes up before we go on in the Shas of Katan, Lamed Aleph is an interesting question, is what about the following case?
Room. Here is a good one. What about a tarobis of treif pepper and kosher pepper. Treif pepper and kosher pepper. Right, or whatever it might be.
What's the sheer bittel? What's the sheer bittel? Treif pepper mixed with kosher pepper. Now, you can't really talk about whether you can taste it or not, right? Because it's min bamino. You can't taste it either way. What's the whole reason that min bamino at tarobis is usher? Who remembers? Why do we usher tarobis and min bamino in the first place?
Because it'll bring you to have min bamino.
Zera atu min b'sheino mino. So here it becomes a little tricky, meaning the pepper is not a milstab of time and pepper. They're both equally powerful. It's not anything. Like, you can't ask. It's not something you can taste or you can't taste. It's something that's not shy to talk about whether or not you can taste. Because it's in the same thing. So what's the shear? Is the shear shishim? Or is the shear unlimited? Right? Or, you know, how estimate when you can taste pepper. So this is a big machlokus. Says the shach, im nafal dav shav b'taymo batel b'shishim. Says the shach, batel b'shishim. Why the batel b'shishim? Since they're equally powerful. Therefore, the heter and the isser have an equal taste. Therefore, you say, well, if it's 60 times as much, then it drowns it out.
You're talking about eating the pepper, or do you need pepper for a
Well, probably afterwards you use it for condiment, but unless it's batel first, you can't use it as a condiment.
Well, the question is, if you, the star that you just ate, you can hear if you're talking about eating it itself.
But of course, it's not bottle to the soup, but it's already bottle to the other pepper. They have equally strong tastes. Then you have to go back to shishim, right? I mean, if you think about it, if two things have bland tastes. No. One is batel and shishim the other. So if two things have strong taste, as long as the ratio is as long as they have equal taste, the shishim should do the trick.
No, because since the star is melting, the time would be planning to put it into the pot. So nothing happens since you're not planning to eat it. So you put it into the pot, nothing happens, no beef.
No, anything has bittel, even if you're not ready to use it yet. Lemaisa, right, this is my focus though. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, not true. Why? He says, well, the whole reason for min b'mina was gzeira atu min b'she'eino mina. He says, so we should make a gzeira here. If pepper gets mixed into pepper, let's make a gzeira atu pepper mixing into soup. So you should need the shear as if it mixed into soup. Meaning the whole point of the isra min b'mina is to not be confused and be ready for a case of min b'she'eino mina. Therefore, we have to be machmer. So he says, ke'ilo eino mina. Right? Basically, it's going to be also even 1 in 1,000, anything more than a speck or two. Because the whole point is that if pepper gets mixed into pepper, you have to be machmir the same way you would if pepper gets mixed into soup. Because the whole point is zero atu eino mino. Okay, halacha lemaisa. It's not, there's not a clear hakra'ah here. Although Rabbi Kiva Eger seems to have a reasonable point. Okay, who's taking pictures? Yeah.
So what was the last part of Rabbi Kiva Eger?
That he says the whole point why we ask her, Taros of min bamino, is so that you won't be confused and you'll know what to do if there's mimish eino mino. So if pepper got mixed into eino mino, there wouldn't be batel even in 1,000. So if pepper gets into mino, it's also not batel in 1,000. So you'll be prepared, you'll be used to it when it comes to eino mino. Okay. Yeah. Okay, now we're up to sif tes. There's a lot of lumps and sugyas here, which I'm not going to get into. We're just going to get the basic point, I think. Says the rush. This is a shut rush. Says the Rush. Interesting shayla. Kedera sheyesh bar chamisha v'tisha zeisim heter. A kedera has 59 ounces of heter. Fluid ounces, right? I mean volume. So what's the case here? Heter, 59. And what falls into it? And fell into it two zeitim. V'nav lo shnei zeisim. Ech jol dam ve'ech jol chelev. So what do you say it's 59 to 2? 59 to 2 would be treif. Or do you say, no, look at these separately. It's 59 to 1 and 59 to 1. That's still treif. Remember, bittel doesn't mean 60 total. It means 60 beside the isser. Says the Rush, kol echad mitzarif b'chamisha v'tisha l'hetel l'vatel chaveiro mutter. Thank you. Says the Rush mutter. Why? Why is it mutter, says the Rush? Because dam is 60 non-dam to 1 dam, and chelev is 60 non-chelev to 1 chelev. So the dam is batel because there's 60 not-dam, and the chelev is batel because there's 60 not-chelev. Basically, the isurah are mevatel each other. V'chein etzer v'tisha zeishel shel heter shenof lem k'zayis chelev dir acheres ha'yushlosh lehetem enof lo k'zayis shel dam. Same exact case. You have 29 to 1 of chelev and 30 to 1 of dam. When you combine them, it's 59, 1, and 1. Right? Venis arva b'shogeg, and you accidentally mix them together. It is mutter. Why did they accidentally mix them together? Why can't you purposely mix them together to make a mutter? Because ain't about linus olach achila. Add the ramav, v'kolshkei m'shnei zesim ech shal gvini v'ech shal basar to kol ech v'antel chavir. Kolshkei, if you have 59 parid and 1 meat and 1 milk, that is revatel each other. Why is that a kolshkei? It says 59 mutter, 1 dam, 1 chelev. Kol shekain, 59 pariv, 1 basar, and 1 cholav. Why is it kol shekain that that's mutter? Because in this case, you had yisur in your bottle over here, it never became yisur in the first place, right? What makes it usur? In four words. What makes a mixture of meat and milk usur if it is? Two or four words. What's usur Torah?
Derech Mishal means it's seen as ta'am. Here, you couldn't taste the meat, you couldn't taste the milk, so it's not usher in the first place. Kol shekein, it's mutter. Okay, great. Now, this is exceedingly controversial. If you got a chance to look at the Dag Omer Vavet here, he went to town. The Rush here, I wish I brought the Lashon HaShulchan Rush. Maybe it's quoted here in the... Okay, let me see if it's quoted properly in the... Yeah, you have the Lashon HaShulchan Rush?
I have the
Shulchan Rush. Ah, okay. The Beis Yosef quotes the Shulchan Rush a little bit out of order. What does he say? Is the Shulchan Rush long or short?
You know which
Chalav
it is?
Oh, it's Kal Chaf Simon Beis. Tell me if it's long or short.
Short.
Okay, read it. Wow. Okay, so what does he say? He says two things. He says, Ibaisema Svara, what the Svara? Someone tell me the Svara in very simple words. What's the Svara? Why this is mutter, even though it's 2 to 59 Isser?
Different tastes.
And therefore, you can't. You
can't taste.
You can't taste. Meaning, bottom line, you can't taste the blood. It's very nice it was Kulam Chela, but it's a trick. It doesn't matter. It's a fact. You can't taste the blood. It's a fact you can't taste the chela. Svara is that you can't taste the dam and you can't taste the chela. Yes?
The next line says, the mali iser mivatal iser mali heter mivatal.
Yeah, what's it mean? If you can't taste it, you can't taste it, right? I don't care if the aliens would be mivatal it. If you can't taste it, you can't taste it. Continue.
Rakshi vatal tama iser lo ya o lo leading tama heter.
Good. Continue. Here's the other advice, Eimer. You take an ounce of pickle, an ounce of tummy, an ounce of nosar, all meat of karbanos, you mix them together, continue. You're putter if you eat them. Why? Because the tummy was only a third, and it's bata barov, and the nosar is only a third, and the pickle is only a third. Here, rov is enough, because it's min bavino, there's no union of taste. Continue. Right, it's got to be that each one is bottle. Now, here it's nothing to do with taste, right? It's bizzle baruch. What's the point here? Continue. Ah, what's the first thing the more learns? That isur v'batel zed. That's a formality, right? That's not nothing to do with tasteability. It's a 1 to 3. 1 in 3, rather. 1 to 2 ratio. It's a formal rule. It's a cloud. This is the formal rule. The formal rule is Isurin Mevatlin Zedze. Is there a lot more?
Go.
Even in Rome, Isurin Vatl is a Kolshkin and Shishim. Good. Yes. Okay. So basically, Ibai saying a svar, and here he said two parts of the svar, and then he brings a Mishnah. Mishnah says Orla is mabatal klayim, and Orla is mabatal Orla, and that's your 1 in 200, nothing to do with tasting. Some of that big bins of grain, 1 in 200. Okay. The double mervava here jumps on the rush. I'm not going to go into the lumdus because it's very subtle. But he starts dins after pasco or rosh or torah shochan arche viol blicholek v'al achronim shatzku nira lemi asaiti eno nachol. Very bold the Dag Omer Vavah. Said the Dag Omer Vavah, dead wrong. There's no such rule. The rule of Yisur Mevatlan Zetzed does not apply here. He says the raya from Zvachim Kosur Mevatlan Zetzed and the raya from the Orla Shnei Ladas Harambam Dechuyim etc. And look very nice and Orla says it doesn't mean it. And look what he said in Zvachim, says he doesn't hold it etc. etc. Basically,
says it by himself.
The Dag Omer Vavah He brings proofs. Proofs. Or, I'm not going to say any proofs, I'm not going to get involved without actually proving things myself. The Dogelmer Bava rejects this. He says, not true, we don't actually hold like those Mars, or we don't hold any of you think they mean. He argues against it. Answers the Prima Gaudim and the Imre Baruch. You see the Hagos Imre Baruch in mind on the bottom. And the Prima Gaudim says the same thing. He has a lot of cautiousness. It's not true. Answers the Imre Baruch, which is on the bottom of the Dogelmer Bava, and the Prima Gaudim right here. What do they answer? They answer, we don't hold like the second aspect of the Rush. But we do hold the first answer, the Rush. The Dogelmer Bava attacks and attacks the second half of the Rush. It's not really the second advice statement, it's the second theme. The formal rule. It says we actually hold formally, so we're not in bats to each other. And he says, and don't say this is any different. And then the Imre Baruch, the Prima Gaudim, says, what are you talking about? We couldn't care less about the formalities. Here it's not a formal kula. It's a practical kula. I don't care if you serve my Mavatan so-and-so. I don't care what the rule would be by Rove, what the rule would be by 200, what the rule would be by Okhtam of Atar, all kinds of other things. Here, tachlis, as they say in Israel nowadays, either you taste it or you don't. And you don't taste the dam, and you don't taste the chelev, so stop bothering me. And therefore, they said, when the Mechaber brought down the Rush, it doesn't mean he necessarily held like everything the Rush said. He might not have held like the second part of the Rush, but he does hold like the first part of the Rush, that if you can't taste it, you can't taste it. And this is what we paskin, halacha l'maisa, that we do not accept the second part of the Rush, but we do accept the first part of the Rush. If it would be a shiloh bit of a rove, we would not accept the Rush. If I had three meatballs, one kosher, one, nevela, and one, I don't want to get into machlokos, shorniskel, right? One kosher, one nevela. We don't really have shorniskel as much as that, do we? Not so much. If I had three meatballs, one is kosher, and one is nevela, and someone help me out here, give me something that's not the same as serves nevela, because trefet ivrin achai might be, according to some poskim. It's a good one, huh? This one probably is. Three meatballs. One is kosher, one is trefa, and one is Eber Menachai. Trefa and Eber Menachai are for sure different Yisurim. Right? Then you're not going to say, we're not going to agree with the Rosh that, the trefa and the kosher and vatla Eber Menachai, the Eber Menachai and the kosher and vatla trefa. No, no, no. When it comes to a formal rule of bittul, we pass the Yisurim and vatla zetzeh. But over here, when it comes to Bittul B'Shishim, there's not a formal rule of Bittul. Bittul B'Shishim is either you can taste it or you can't. And L'maisa, you give it to the Kfela, and if you ask him, do you taste any blood? He wouldn't taste the blood. We know he can't taste the blood. Less than a 60th. If you ask him, do you taste the fat? We know he can't taste the fat. It's less than a 60th. And therefore, we agree with the practical side of the Rush, even if we don't agree with the formal side of the Rush. That's what the Achronim conclude. Can
you show them more
on the Rush? No. Meaning, the Rambam is clearly chole on the second part of the Rush. But in the actual case of the Rush, we have not found any Rishonim or Cholik on the actual bottom line of the Rush. On the Arla part and on the Pigel and Nosar part. Yes. Arla is a Mishnah. He's not Cholik on the Mishnah. He just has a different shot of what the Mishnah is talking about. So that's the bottom line. We agree with this, not for formal reasons, but for practical reasons. One interesting discussion that comes up here in the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and others is, what if you have cases? Maybe you could, based on what you explained, you could probably help passing these two cases. You ready? What if you have... $59 heter, one
of Chelev and one of Shuman Neveva.
What am I trying to say? Shuman and Chelev taste the same, but they're two different Isurim. Right? Two different Isurim, but the same taste. Well, what about the following case? You have, right, two Shemos. Not, I don't mean the same species. I mean Shemos Isser here. Two Shemos Isser. Or, let's make sure we're not, I don't want to confuse anyone. So one second. Right, Beis Isurim, but one Tam. What would you say, Usser or Mutter? Usser. Based on what we just said, Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Prima Gadim conclude Usser. Why? Formally, so are about each other. It's just a matter of taste. Here, you can taste it. Therefore, based on what we just said, say Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Prima Gadim, Usser. Why? Because these serum aren't about each other. It's only about if you can't taste it. And here you can taste it. It's a 59-2 ratio. Each of them is 129.5. Of course you can taste the fat very well. Great. What about the opposite case? What about 59 Heter? One of Arla apples. And one of Arla, what tastes very different from apples? Anyone help me out here? Grapefruits? Grapefruits taste different from apples?
Oranges.
Orange tastes different from apple? They have a lot of sweetness in common, no? Lemons, right?
Let's take the lemons. I hope that's a good example.
What about this case? Right? Or you can always also have other examples. Like, what if you have 59 and one of trefa milk and one of trefa meat? Right?
Are those 200?
What? Are those only 200 min bimino? I apologize. The 200 and the 100 are only min bimino, we paskin. The Rambam disagrees, but we paskin only min bimino. So what about this case? What would you think? It's 59-2 treif, but it's different tastes. What would you say?
You only have one yeast.
So what would you say?
Usser.
You would say usser. Okay.
You want to taste?
But you can't taste anything.
Yeah, you can. It doesn't stop. The whole story doesn't stop.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this is a big machlokas. It says Rabbi Akiva Eger, if you have letters in your Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, Ches, the Rabbi Akiva starts with Tam Dam Vechilav in Yeshavol, Tam Am Shavin, Af Vezerim and Starfin Lesser. If they have the same taste, even two different Yisurim, the first top of the board, they're Aser. They're Aser. Uve Tvua Shor, the Lamed Gimel, some Lamed Gimel, Kasav, the Dav Gub Enough Lina Mina, well, Enough Lina Mina, Blu Boy Sam Chalun Rabban, Vishim Nos and Tam Gneg Mina Mina, Vzele Gabi Kolisher, Don and Dash, okay, I don't want to get to that yet. Od Kasav Shav. The Af Ein Tam An Shavin, Mikom Mok Mina Dav Gub Bezi Surin, Avol Iser Echad Chalukin Atam, Ein Mevatlun Zeh Tzeh.
Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, here is a big machlokas.
Usser.
Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, Usser. Says the Imre Baruch
on the bottom of the Dogomir Vava, he says, Sha'afilu beiz isurim ilav echad. Hatamim lo shayich tzirav shor enkan tamid yisur d'chol echad usbatel v'heter uvetam ha'isur d'chaveiro yu'uyin sham.
Says the Imre Baruch. And this is the Pesach of the Chazan Ish. Mutter, why?
Because we don't care what about formal Isurim. Lamaisa, you can't taste it. If you can't taste it, you can't taste it. You don't taste apples and you don't taste lemons. Ma baya.
There's no makor for it. You can't argue with the Rosh. It's a svara. No, there's no svara like
okay.
The Rosh is the only one who said the svara.
This is a big machlokas. The Rabbi Akiva Eger assers, as does the Pesach Tshuva here, according to Chavos Das. In Sifkat Yud Ayin B'Chavos Das Shekasad Hunim Ksayis Boser Nas Demil Machschil Ksayis Chin Shnei Surin Shasur M'Shem Echad Avshei Tamad Shavim Vatlu Zed Zeh Ad Kan Devar.
Sorry, I'm just going to add a little. Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Chavos Das, and the Prima Gadim all say Aser.
But why? If you can't taste it, you can't taste it. So the Prima Gadim says something very interesting. What does he say here? One second. Does he say it here or there? One second. Yeah, he really only says in the Hakdama.
Says the Prima Gadim.
Really, it's only Nesedra Rabbanan. He says, really, we agree with the Imrei Baruch. If you can't taste it, you can't taste it. Ma'abaya. I don't care if it's 2 to 59 treif. If you can't taste it, you can't taste it. It's only Xerud Rabbanan because it can easily be confused that it looks like 2 to 59, so you don't want confusion, so you're asur because you don't want it to look like a 2 to 59 ratio is much better. But, so here we have Rabbi, the Imrei Baruch has an issue saying mutter. Why? Because we don't look at the formalities of it. We just look at practically if you can taste it or not. We have many Achronim who are machver, but even Achronim who are machver might only be machver and Midrabanan to avoid confusion. Okay, there's a lot of other details going on in the Nosekalim, but we won't go into all of them now.
So the only reason according to Miki Vayger and the Prima Godom is because it might confuse with something else?
Yes, meaning you might confuse it with just two of the same thing.
Okay.
At least that's what the Prima Godom says, right? Kiva Eger is not, does not specify.
Sir,
although he does say, yeah?
This is not very academic. If the Rush hadn't written the Shuva, nobody would have entered their mind from after it. So you can't take the Rush and take one out of one and then decide. Does that make sense?
Okay. The certain. It definitely does get more subtle than this, but we'll leave it at this. You know, Zev does have a point, but we're not going to get deeper into it right now.
No, because it starts to be funny to call it aloha. You can't be arguing on the Mishon. That's where Moshe Paskin is. You can't argue on the Mishon if there's nobody else. So if you're telling me the Rambam, so the Seder. But don't use me the Rosh as a source. You can't take somebody's words and use it for what you want. He didn't say that. The Rosh brings down two Chubos.
Okay, I understand. They are extrapolating on their on the base of their own logic. You're right. The Rush never discussed two different ounces of the same isser with different tastes. That they're saying this, I think, based on their own logic. Although, just to be fair, the Imrei Baruch puts an isser v'hetter. The isser v'hetter is also borderline Rishon Achron, meaning he's also pretty late. So the Imrei Baruch puts an isser v'hetter on his side. We assume he's telling the truth. We can add to this. The Isser Heter. I didn't look it up inside. What? I think that's enough for now. One technical issue that comes up in the Shach and the Taz here is a technical problem. Read again to yourself this Mechaber and tell us which part of this Mechaber the Ashkenazim should have a technical problem with. Which part of this Mechaber should Ashkenazim have a technical problem with? In which case do you have Chanan?
Each one separately.
Yeah, exactly. In the case of 29 heter plus one dam and 30 heter plus one chalev adds up to 59 plus one plus one equals mutter, right? That was the second half. Says, hold on a second, that's very nice for Sfardim. For Ashkenazim, once you have 29 and 1 separately, it's now 30 of Chanan. Once you have 30 and 1 separately, it's 31 of Chanan. Once you add them together, it's now 61 of Chanan. It's all treif, there's no shayla at all.
It's not Yavish B'Yavish?
No, it's not Yavish B'Yavish. Certainly not. Kzayis Dam, the Kzayis Chilav, they melt into your Tavshel. Right? So here's the problem. What about Chanan? It's not a kasha of the Mechaber. Right? But why didn't the Rama argue? What about Chanan? So here there are three technical answers in the Mefarshim. The Taz says, in the Chanan it's Asr. The Rama didn't bother to argue because he's already told you many times about Chanan Bishari Surin. I know the Rama said something on this set, but he didn't argue. He's not going to bother to argue every time there's Chanan. He's so meich on the fact that Ashkenaz will Chanan Bishari Surin, and therefore he knew that it was Osir. But really, of course, this case is of no relevance for Ashkenazim.
What did the Rush hold in Chanan?
What?
What did the Rush hold in Chanan
Bishari Surin? Because this is a Rush, right? One second. Yeah, of course.
The Shach doesn't explicitly address that. Okay, I don't recall. Obviously, if the Rush held Chanan B'Shar Surin, then the Taz's answer wouldn't work, is what you're pointing out. Okay, the Shach gives two other answers. Says the Shach, there's a case where even Ashkenazim are making Chanan B'Shar Surin, and that's the case where it's relevant to us. What is that? Lach v'lach behefzed merubah. Remember, if there's no chaticha, if there's no piece, here, let's say it's no piece, it's just vegetable soup. It's not a piece that was bole on the dam of the chela. It's just soup. If you have soup, it's lach v'lach, but welcome hefzed merubah, Ashkenazim don't say chanan. There's something on the right in the Mordechai. And therefore, the Ramad let this go, because in lach v'lach, welcome hefzed merubah, we don't have chanan. The third shot is the Shach's second answer. And he says, this is based on a sheet of the Ramah in the Torah's Chatas. The Ramah has a big kula in the Torah's Chatas. Says the Ramah, which he quotes here, he says, one second, Harav al zolotami shepasib b'Torah's Chatas, heveisiv l'kamon, dimnitosol, esu b'shol kodesh, no tarov es lo amin l'chanan. This is going to be in Sadi Tess, if I'm not mistaken, he says here, Leshitas harama ein chanan in lonoda hatarovis. Says, you know why the Ramah didn't argue? The Taz says the Ramah didn't argue, but he should have argued, he just didn't bother. The Taz at first and says, you know why the Ramah didn't argue? Because even the Ramah agrees if it's lach balach, it's hefzed merubah, there's no chanan b'shari surin. The Shach the second says, no, you know why the Ramah didn't argue? The Shitase. The Ramah holds this only Chanan when you know the Torah has happened. Until you know the Torah has happened, there's no Chanan. And therefore, maybe this is a case where you didn't know the Torah has happened until you mixed the two pots. That's not a crazy Okinta. Yeah, especially since you have to mix the Meshogeg anyway. What's the case of Shogeg? What do you mix the Meshogeg? You knew they were Asr and then forgot? No, the simple pshat is, you mix the two pots with Shogeg because you didn't know the Dam fell in and the Chela fell in until later. That's the most simple, it's not an Ukinta, that's the simplest case. How do you have a case where you mix the Meshogeg? The simplest case is you didn't know any Isr fell in. You could come up with more complicated cases. You knew Isr fell in and you forgot. You knew Isr fell in and then your wife mixed them. But the simple pshat is that, you just didn't know. So Ramah says there's no Chanan here because Chanan depends on Yediyah. Chanan doesn't happen naturally if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, then there's no Chanan, says the Ramah. Perhaps only Shari Surin. The Shach says, however, but the Shach says, we don't paskin this way. And this is true. We don't paskin like the Ramah. The Ramah might hold that. He writes in the Torah's Chatas, so it's mistabra. Basically, the Ramah makes sense. Why did the Ramah argue here and say Chanan b'Shari Surin? Because it was a case, mistama, it was a case where you didn't know there was a Torah in the first place. And Chanan is only when the tree falls in the forest and someone hears that there's Chanan. That's going to the Ramah. However, the Shach says that even if the Ramah holds that, we don't. Halachal Maim, so the Achronim don't agree with this Ramah. We paskin there's Chanan automatically. Okay. Simen Sadi Tes starts with a stira. The question is, what's the status of bones? Right, you cook Isser and Heter in one big chort, and you're counting up whether shishim or not. Do the bones count? We already discussed it, you claim. Where did we already discuss it?
The machlokas between Shishim and Mea.
Very good. This is Gufa the machlokas between Shishim and Mea, right? We learned from Zerah B'Sheila. Let's see if you can reconstruct based on your knowledge of anatomy. Which was Shishim based on Mea, right? One Shita says you count the bones. One Shita said you don't count the bones. Right? Which one gets shishim? Which one gets mea?
I count the bones.
If you count the bones, then an arm has a lot of bones.
If you count the bones, then the arm is pretty big. It's a 60th. If you don't count the bones, the arm is very small. There's a lot of bones there. Then the arm is 100. So we have this machlokas, the man d'amar meya, and everything. I'm not talking about truma. Said count the bones. The man d'amar shishim said, no, the man d'amar meya didn't count the bones. Man d'amar shishim counts the bones. So we pass in shishim or meya.
Shishim.
Ah, so in the sugya on daf of chulin daf tzadi tes, man number 100 says don't count bones. The man number 60 says count bones. So since we pass in 60, we should count the bones. However, they is gestir from the Yerushalmi and Trumos. The Yerushalmi and Trumos says the peels and the eggshells, the shells and the eggshells, like the shells of vegetable matter, and the eggshells of treif eggs, and the hard bones of treif animals, don't count towards the isser, adrava count towards the hetter. Adrava count towards the hetter. So the Yerushalmi in Trumo says the shells, peels, and bones of Isser count with the heter. Why? Because they themselves are not treif. Only things you can eat are treif. Things you can't eat are not treif. And therefore, they're kosher. So here's a stira. What do we do with this stira? How would you answer this stira? Aha, so one answer is, maybe they're both right. It depends what kind of bones. What kind of bones are in the arm of a ram? What kind of bones are in the arm of a ram?
Hollow.
What do we call them? What do we call hollow bones? If my wife goes to the butcher, she's buying? She's not buying hollow bones. What is she buying? As a matter of fact, they're never hollow.
Marrow?
She's buying marrow bones, right? Bones don't come hollow. If they look hollow to us, it's because someone scraped out the marrow and ate them, right? You know, you ever see those bones that look like a ring? I mean, it's a slice. That didn't come hollow. It came with marrow inside. After your wife eats all the marrow, then it looks hollow, right? No bones, to the best of my knowledge, no bones in actual live animals or freshly shechted animals are hollow. They're either bone all the way through, or there's marrow inside. Everyone knows the arm bone is a marrow bone. A marrow bone, besides the fact that marrow is good to eat, the whole bone is a little more soft and full of taste because the marrow bone. I don't mean soft like flexible like a Kleenex. I mean, the arm of a ram is what it runs, what it walks on, right? It's obviously very strong. Again, when they say it's almost a rock and soft bones, they don't mean soft like cardboard. But what it means is that it's a little more permeable and is full of, even the bone part has more taste. So one answer is the Shita of the Ran and the Orzarua. One answer is the Ran and the Orzarua, put in the Isra Hatter, is that this is talking about hard, peels. I mean, I'm not going to use peels. Peels sound like soft things. Let's stick with shells. They talk about shells of nuts and shells of eggshells. Those are all hard. Right? These are hard shells and bones. And these are soft marrow bones, which have more taste in them. Have taste. Don't have taste, which they call something like moisture. Meaning, it's about two different things. Very hard bones and eggshells and, you know, nuts, walnut shells don't have any taste at all. And maybe some of the like stalks of the wheat don't have any taste at all. And don't have any moisture at all. And the stalks have some moisture, but there must be some husks that don't have a lot of moisture. But these quote-unquote soft marrow bones, which again,
I don't mean they're very soft, but they're relatively soft. Those have taste and moisture.
It's hard to imagine an eggshell is more permeable.
It's less permeable.
But it's less. But it might have less taste than a marigold. No. The machloket we learned about gelatin was if you process the bones and make them edible, do they turn edible or not? Right, Rabbi Cheskel Abramson was making. The assumption is it starts off kosher. Okay.
For the following reason. Good point. Dried out bones.
That they say at some yevation. When the bones dry out already, then everyone agrees they're kosher. Even the rind. It's only moist, fresh, soft, marrow bones that he thinks are a problem. Like freshly shechted ale nuzer. That's one answer. However, you see how this is far from pashut. I mean, if you look at those marrow bones, it's not intuitive. If you look at those marrow bones, like after you scrape out the marrow from the inside and you left that ring, it looks pretty, inedible. Not just you can't chew it. It doesn't look like it has a lot of taste inside. Okay, go figure. Fine, that's one answer. What did the Rosh and the Rashba and the Rosh say?
It might be inedible, so.
Correct, you're right. Okay, I apologize. They say, oh, this is the real halacha. Real halacha is that Atzmos Eser Mitzarfin Lehem. Says the Ron, it depends. Dried out bones and hard shells are mitzarfin leheter. But regular bones are mitzarfin leheter. Says the Rosh, no. The real rule is Yerushalmi and Truma. And Trumos. Bones are nothing. Bones are kosher. Bones have no chash whatsoever. They are mitzarfin leheter. What do you do with the Gemara of the El Nazir? Anyone? What do you do with the Gemara about the El Nazir? Who remembers what Tosso said about the Gemara of the El Nazir? That we derive 60 from the El Nazir. According to Tosso, some Rov Rishonim, where do we get 60 from?
Including the bones in the Heter.
No. Where do we really get 60 from? It's a rule of thumb. We did experiments as to when you could taste it. Hold on. How do I know when I can taste the taste of the forearm of the ram in the rest of the meat of the ram? Has the same taste anyway, right? It's not relevant at all. Shishim is a rule of thumb for when you can taste two things with separate tastes. When you can taste meat and vegetable soup. When you can taste meat and barley and beans. The whole case of the El Nazir was min bamino. It has nothing to do with anything. Midar Raisa, what's the sheer bittel for the taste of one part of the ram and the taste of the other part of the ram?
Rove.
It's only Darbana you need shishim. So what is supposed to say about that Gemara of El Nazir? How can we derive shishim from something that has no taste anyway because it's the same taste? It's an asmach to the Alma. It's just a mnemonic for how to remember 60. They're not really arguing how to darshan the case of El Nazir. They just want a mnemonic for something they concluded for other reasons. So one of them gets a mnemonic of 100, and one of them gets a mnemonic of 60, and they all work out how to get their mnemonic. But that's not the real halacha. That's just an asmach to get to a number which has a completely different reason behind it. So this is not a real Shir Bittel, not a real drusha. It's just an asmachta. And if it's just an asmachta, it doesn't have to be la halacha. You don't have to use the regular halacha rules in measuring it. It's just an asmachta, and therefore, it doesn't matter that there we counted the bones of the Isser towards the Isser. It was just a way to get an asmachta of Shishim. Basically, we know there's a. How do they know this rule of Shishim? They made a lab. They hired a lot of goyim to come work in their lab. and they cooked all the different treif foods with all the different kosher foods and kept trying to see if the goyim could taste it. And it turned out 60 with the magic cutoff number. Once a 60, the goyim could never taste any of the treif foods. They tried treif onions, and they tried treif chilev, and they tried treif basar, and they tried treif chalav, and they tried treif vina, and all the different common treif foods, and 60 was the cutoff. And then they found the elnaz, and they decided to make an asmachta. So to get the asmachta, they had to count the bones of the iser as aser, and the bones of the heter as mutter. Okay, that's just an asmachta. It has nothing to do with the halacha. That's what the Rosh and the Rashba and the Rosh say. So, what are the shitas? Here, atzmos iser. According to the Ran, regular atzmos iser are mitzvahim le'iser. According to the Rosh and the Rashba and the Rosh, mitzvahim le'heter. They're mitzvahim le'heter. Okay, how do we paskin? Says the Mechaber, Chatichat Nevela Shish Mepasar Ratzomos, Shenofu L'Kdiris Heter, Atzmos Ha'Isser Mitztarfim Ima Heter L'Vatala Isser, the bones of the treif count towards the Heter to be in Vatala Isser, the Ein Tzarech Lomar Sh'Atzmos the Heter Mitztarfim the Heter, and obviously the bones of the Heter Mitztarfim the Heter. Okay, who do we paskin, who does the Mechaber paskin like?
Rosh and Rosh.
Exactly.
If it's clearly separate from the rotev in the sense that it doesn't have its own edibility, then how is it able to be counted as part of the mixture to be mevatel anything?
Ah, okay, good question. Excellent question. That's the discussion of this long prima gadim, very, very nice prima gadim, in the first mishpat, so zahav, the svara. Let's just look at the svara for a second, okay? Oh, hold on a second. Atmos heter. Right? Okay. Since he says the atmos iser counts as heter, and Kolshkin, the atmos heter counts as heter. What's the svara? So Eli says, rather asks, if an ethyl tam, then how is it mitzarif to anything? Meaning, maybe we should have just said, nothing's mitzarif to anything. Pretend it doesn't exist. Okay, what's the svara? Why do all the atzamos count as heter? So the prima gadim has two deos. The first is certainly easier than the second. Let me just look inside to make sure that, I want to get them in the right order. The prima gadim says two different alternatives. Theory Aleph is that atzamos have no taste. Ah, so how can they count towards the shishim of heter? They have no taste, but what? How do they count as heter? What can they do? What can they accomplish without any taste?
They can absorb.
They can absorb and dilute the iser. After all, what's the point? The point of the shishim is that it gets diluted and spread out, so they can still absorb and dilute the iser. But
why is that not the taz?
They can't absorb iser. Which taz? The taz of lashon is tricky, right? Continue. Stop. So far, that's exactly the taz, right?
Yeah.
Continue. Gam Kane, all of a sudden he says something else. Basically, the Prima Gadim is based on the Taz. I mean, that's why he's in the Mishnah Zohar here. First line of the Taz is they absorb. What's the assumption? This is a very fundamental machlokas. The assumption is that 60 is a shear of dilution. It has to be diluted, right? Has to spread out. I hope that's what dilution means. I'm not sure. It has to spread out and be less than a 60th. The mice gets absorbed into the bones, so it's less than a 60th. But let me say it a little better.
Yeah, that's what dilution means.
Okay.
Why if this disappears into the bone?
It's dilution.
Because some of the chafe taste goes into the bone, right?
So then you have less treif taste, right? It succeeds in using up the treif taste so that the treif taste is very weak. We're not. Basically, I have an ounce of treif. I have 60 ounces of kosher, including all the bones. Right? So what happens? That ounce of treif gets absorbed in the bones, gets absorbed in the gravy, gets absorbed in the meat, gets absorbed in the vegetables. But since it spreads out to 60 ounces, there's only a 60th treif left in each ounce. And that's why it's mutter. Right? Fine. You're going to have to help me with the next one. Says the other sheet of the Prima Gadim, no. This is based on the next line in the Taz. What's the next line in the Taz, Zeb? I also have lachluchis to be mevato v'yisr. What does that mean? The second assumption says no. It's not just they absorb. They also have their own lachluchis levalbel, I think he says, not levato, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Bones have lachluchis to mevalbel v'yisr. What is mevalbel v'yisr? Meaning, they have a counter taste, a very bland counter taste, right? They have a counter taste that outweighs the isser. To, what would be mevalbel? To mix with the isser taste. What this is assuming is that 60 is a shear in
alternative time.
Exactly, in the Heter taste outweighing the Isser taste. It's competition of taste. It's not how much space it's diluted over, it's competition of taste. If you have 60 Heter taste to each Isser taste, then it's Mevatalit. And the bones also have taste.
Water.
Yeah. The coffee case we were discussing earlier.
But
water doesn't have a taste.
It has Lachlucas. It has, yes, it has a bland taste. It has a water taste. Hold on a second. If I add water to your milk, it won't taste watery? That shows it has a watery taste. That's an interesting question. Meaning, if I put milk in 60 parts water, I'm sure I don't need 60 for milk and water, but just for example, you won't taste the milk anymore. Is that because the milk is just so thin that you can't taste it? Or is it because there's so much water taste compared to the milk taste that the water taste outweighs the milk taste? Of thinning the isser taste. You know what I mean? It's like it's just, there's so little bit left. It's so spread out that it's not strong enough. So here, it does sound almost like a similar thing, but the Prima Gadim makes a subtle distinction. This subtle distinction comes up a few times in the Achron, but we're not going to get into it, because I admit it's very subtle. Says the Prima Gadim, that he's not sure what the shear shishim is. Shishim just means space that it's spread out over so you can't taste it, which is pasha, the bones are space that absorb and it spreads out. Or is that no, 60 has to be competing taste. You need 60 other tastes, including a watery taste. In which case, bones have their own taste. Each of these then gets into a bit of a question, which you then have either a large or small bechak to answer. The question on the second one is, if the bones have lachluchis, why aren't they treif? Right? So then you have to be nidchak to say, the bones have a taste, but it's a kolosh taste, which the Torah didn't aser. According to this one, you then have to ask, how come the pot also doesn't count towards shishim? Because after all, the taste spreads into the pot also. So why doesn't the pot count towards shishim? Which we pass clearly doesn't in this very sif. And then you have to answer, either because the pot is only has food on the inside, not the outside, so it doesn't absorb so well, or because many pots are already fully absorbed, so they can't absorb more. Sometimes, either you have to say because sometimes pots are already satiated and can't absorb, or you could say since the pots only have food on the inside, not the outside, they might not absorb so well. This is all discussion of the Prima Gadim. Yes. Okay. Now, at least sometimes.
That is the svara for the mechaber. Says the Ram. What's the svara for the Ram, by the way? The svara for the Ram is very easy. It's just that bones have taste and are therefore trait. That's very easy.
You're dealing with gelatin?
No. Although it was brought up. Says the, just give me half a second here, that the Ram svara is shmizi. And the Rash svara is probably this is the, if you say Aleph, it's not a bad svara. It's a pretty easy svara. If you say Beis, it's a little tricky, but the Prima Gadim brought up both of them based on the Lashon of the Taz. First he says they're mispashit l'tochan, it gets absorbed into them. And then he says they also have their own moichet, mevalbel, to outweigh it, to confuse it, to mix with it. Says the Mechaber, continuing. Obviously, the marrow counts as iser. Marrow is just meat. That's pasha. The gufat dira in sarefs loma iser loma heter. The pot itself doesn't count towards either way. We'll come back to that. Adds the Rama. V'yesh machmirim shelo l'tzarf atzmos ha'iser meheter levatel u'makom hesed yesh lismoch ha'makilu matirin kichin ikker. Here he quotes a strange shita of... Excuse me. Here he quotes a strange sheet of Agos Sharidura quoting the Orzarua. Not the way the Israel had to quote the Orzarua. What's the strange sheet of? The Agos Sharidura, the Shame Orzarua. I guess we should call this the Isser Beheter, the Shame Orzarua. What does he say? He says, Yesh Machmirim, that the Atzos Beheter, what do we do with them? Shalo Litzarif Beheter. They're not mitzarek to anything. Okay. What about the atzmos haheter? Did he say we're machmir on them? Did he ever say we're machmir on the atzmos haheter? Say the atzmos haitzer aren't mitzarek. What's the diuk? Atzmos haheter are mitzarek in leheter. Atzmos haitzer are not mitzarek either way. Atzmos haheter are mitzarek for heter. What's the svara? What's the svara? Why should the mutter bones count as heter, but the iser bones don't count at all? If you said they both count as heter, tena. If you said neither one counted at all, tena. They just don't do anything.
Like the first part of the
Prima
Gadim.
That it's
bolea.
Yeah.
If it's bolea, so why aren't the atzmos iser also bolea?
The iser can't be
without iser. Why not? If it's really usser, it should asser. The answer is there's no svara for this. Obviously, the bones of the iser aren't trafe, then they count towards the iser. Obviously, the bones of the Isser are kosher. If they're kosher, then why aren't the same bones of the Heter? Svara is, Dati Moshe says, Chomer B'Alma. Really? We hold like the Rash and the Rashva. That they're both Mitzarif the Heter, but it's Pasnish to me, Mitzarif, bones of Isser to Heter. Pasnish. So the bones of Isser are not Mitzarif to anything, as a Chomer B'Alma. Halach L'maisa says the Rama, and then we will give the floor to our esteemed Rebbe. Says the Rama, Ubamakam Hesed Yesh Lismoch Amakilu Matirin Shkichein Eker. This is the Rama. Shelo Bimakam Hesed. But Bimakam Hesed, he agrees with the Mechaber. However, is the story over? Do we have the tzak down? What does the shach say? Says the shach, sif katan aleph, lafian is daiti, like the ra'ah and the ran. Oh, put the ra'ah here. Says the shach, and the gra, nope, we really hold like the ran. Really, that's the right shot. Really, right shot is like the Ran and the Ra'ah. He just taught me Svara that was correct. And therefore, Atmos Isser. So we have all three days. Mechaber says Atmos Isser, Mitzarif Maheter. The Ramah says you're not Mitzarif them either way unless there's a Hepsid. And the Gra and the Shach says, nope, they're Mitzarif to the Isser. However, says the Prima Gadim and the Gilyan Mahersha on this Shach, he says, Uva Hepsid Ruba Ein Osir and Prima Gadim, says the Prima Gadim, the hefsid meruba hameka lo hefsid, the hefsid meruba we can be makel. So even the shach and the gra say
behefset meruba. You could be mekel halakha l'maisa for Ashkenazim. We pass like the shach and the gra that the atzmos iser are mitzarif to the iser, but if hefset meruba, we can hold like the mechaber. That's the bottom line. The hefset meruba, we can be mekel like the mechaber. And if there's no hefset meruba, we should be machmer more than the Rambah. We should be machmer that atzmos iser mitzarif from the iser like the ran and the Ra'ah that the Shach quotes as well. Okay.
But the Atmos Shahatr will be...
Atmos Hatter, everyone agrees. Mitzarif Lehatter. Theoretically, you could have had a Shita that not Mitzarif at all. But that Shita does not appear in the Rishonim. Why? Because Mefurshim Yushalmi, that Klipos Hatter are Mitzari. That even Klipos Isser are Mitzarif Lehatter. So something has to be Mitzarif Lehatter. Okay, so we'll pick up...